Two men in a six pack starts in 3, 2, 1. Welcome, 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 folks. We've been on hiatus, a siesta for 3 weeks, but we are back now. Two men in the six pack. Great show tonight. We're recording on Facebook Live as we do this. So, Trevor, you ready to roll?
Let's do it.
Let's do this. So, first of all, props, Mike Brandon, Twin Peaks. He gave us food for the masses. So, if you are watching on Facebook Live and are hungry, you probably can come over here and get some food because we have a ton of food left. So anyway, if you are hungry, Facebook Live folks, come over here and get some food. So starting off, this day in sports, 1936, long time ago.
Yeah.
U.S. Olympian Jesse Owens wins the 200 meter dash in world record time of 20.7 seconds for his third gold medal of the Berlin Games. At those games, Owens won four gold medals in the 100, 200, the 4x100 relay, and the long jump. Phil, that's pretty damn impressive, isn't it?
It was. That was unbelievable.
He managed to break or equal 9 Olympic records and also set 3 world records.
Were you all there to witness?
I was not there to witness. Phil was surfing at the time, so he was unable to attend. And Chris was not even a thought yet by his mom and dad. So, 2006 on this date, Warren Moon became the first black quarterback to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Wow.
In Canton, Ohio. He joined, this is a pretty good damn class, Troy Aikman, John Madden, Rayfield Wright. Remember him from Dallas Cowboys? These boys don't remember him.
I didn't know he got in, though. Yeah. I did not remember him getting in.
Harry Carson and Reggie White.
Wow.
Pretty good class. Wow. And I think Ray Lewis, in his 18-hour acceptance speech last night, probably thanked Warren Moon for being accepted on that time. So those are two big things that happened on this date. We're going to flip back one day because this is very, very important here. Saturday, August 4th in 2006. Not this day in sports, but yesterday in sports. This is a tribute to Bobby Mills and Rick Gallagher. The original Shake and Bake. Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby, premiered at the movie theaters on this date back in 2006. That will come into play later on with Rapid Fire, trust me.
Okay.
Birth dates. Born this day, 1930, Neil Armstrong. You know who Neil Armstrong is, right?
I'm aware.
Okay, he's an astronaut. 1937, Herb Brooks, U.S. hockey. You know who that is?
Didn't know who that was.
Okay. 1962, Patrick Ewing. One of the greatest NBA players, along with Charles Barkley, never to win, and Karl Malone and John Stockton to never win the NBA championship because of Michael Jordan, the second greatest basketball player of all time. LeBron James is the greatest basketball player of all time.
We're not getting into this, right?
No, we're not getting into that. All right. 1964, Adam Yauch. Do you know who that is?
Well, just because I'm reading it.
A.K.A. MCA. He was one of the founding members of the Beastie Boys. He was born on this date. Also, quite a traumatic time. I think it was May of 2012, he died. 47 years old, cancer. Also, born in 1971, my buddy and yours, and Phil's phone's going off. He obviously didn't put it on mute, but that's all right. My buddy, Ray Colley, athletic director at Northwoods Park Middle School. Ray's birthday is today. So, Ray, if you're watching on Facebook Live, happy birthday, dude.
Happy birthday.
All right, let's hop into it, man. Football started, NFL, college, and of course high school. In the coming weeks, we're going to be talking about NFL, and we're going to have some guests on to talk about that. We're going to have some guests on to talk about college. But this show is dedicated 90% to one thing and one thing only, and that is high school football. I'd like to welcome two special guests. One of them is no stranger to the show, and one of them is no stranger to high school football or athletics in our community. So, literally the most accomplished football coach of all time in Oslo County, my friend Phil Paget.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And regional sports editor of literally every newspaper east of I-95, also my friend Chris Miller. Chris, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right, let's get rolling. I got, like, some questions, and then Trevor's going to have some questions. And then we're going to move on to a couple other things, and y'all are going to get to sit here and participate in rapid fire as well. So in 1 minute or less, because this is a quick question. I just want you a brief hit. 1 minute or less, give me your opinion of the state of high school football in our area.
Our high school football is great. I really think we play great football, and also kind of been doing it for years. I think I base it on the number of kind of kids we get in Division I that get scholarships, the level of coaching we get, and the type of how we do in the playoffs. I think that all that comes together. If you're talking about being having what kind of level you're at in football, mm-hmm. in this county, I think those three things are huge factors. And we've had teams win state championships, advance to it, East Finals and stuff. We've had tons of kids go to college and Division I scholarships.
This year, what's the state of football this year?
Well, I mean, it just carries in this year. This year, it's great. I think South Azonzo is going to have a shot at winning the state championship. I think Jacksonville is going to have an outside shot. I think there's a couple others that are going to make a run in the playoffs, not real deep. But, okay. So
we're going to get to that. So you're 1 minute up.
Okay.
So now I'm going to defer to Chris. Chris, tell me about the state of football.
I think it's strong. I think the thing that seems to go unnoticed is that you have other teams like Havelock and New Bern that has historically been pretty strong, and I think our teams tend to get a little unnoticed or maybe get overshadowed by some of those teams. But you look at, you know, some of Phil's Coach Padgett's Southwest teams, real strong state championship teams, Jacksonville, and he's right. I think Southwest and Jacksonville have a strong shot of going pretty far this year, perhaps going to state finals. So, again, I just think some of these teams kind of tend to get a little unnoticed, overshadowed at times because of how great Havelock is and how great New Bern used to be. But we have some strong football, and I think some of the teams that have kind of been average in certain years might be taking that step forward this year.
Perfect. Follow-up to that. Chris, you can go first, and then Coach can go. Do you think the recent news about CTE is having any effect on football in the community? Whether it's high school, Pop Warner, middle school, do you think it's having any effect?
I think it is in some sense. I think some of the participation levels might be decreasing a little bit. I don't think it's a significant amount where you're really noticing. But you got to credit these coaches in our area who are really doing a great job of making sure these kids are put in a good situation and healthy environment.
Coach?
There's no doubt about it. It's affecting attendance at the lower levels. Mm-hmm. Well, I've talked to some moms that said, I'm not letting my son play. And they'll let them jump in a car and drive across the country and breakfast and all that, but they're not going to play football. It's become something it's become a rallying cry, and so it's becoming a problem. I mean, we're losing a lot of kids who can play football that just aren't because their mom's saying that. And, of course, that's a good excuse for the kid, too, to hang out in the house and do
nothing. Yeah. Well, let me tell you, this shouldn't be a new phenomenon. We've been playing football and doing things like this for a long time. I blame it 100% on bad coaching. And not from the perspective, have you ever taught a kid when he's going to go make a tackle to lead with his helmet?
No.
Never. Because worse than a damn brain injury is the possibility of being paralyzed.
Right.
I mean, think about that. But I think it's all started from folks, dads, and nothing against dads. Hell, they want their kids to play football, but wanting to get involved, starting teaching them at Pee Wee and stuff like that, and not teaching them the proper technique. We were always taught, put the head in the chest and slide off and wrap up. Well, you don't lead with your helmet. You don't lead with the crown of your helmet. You don't. I mean, it's just, I think it's, and plus you got kids. I think it's also perpetuated a little bit by the NFL, and them seeing, I mean, what do you see on ESPN at night? The top 10 plays, and during the NFL, probably 7 or 8 of them are big-ass hits that these guys are throwing on. I'm not saying, I mean, look, football's football, and it's inherently a violent sport, and we know that. And you know that when you play football.
Right.
I'm pro football. I just think it's kind of been blown out of proportion. It's like any other thing. It just hasn't started happening. It's been around.
Right. Well, I mean, most of us played football, and most of us are semi-normal. There's an exception. Kids that go to college, and then the kids go to college and NFL. But you know, the truth is, it's a very small minority that get that, and they are being taught a lot better how to tackle properly and all that. Yeah. But I don't, definitely it's not 100% coaching, because it's not, because you can use the right technique, and there's occasion you're going to get a little concussion. You can still get one if you lay the lumber to them. That's part of the game, and it's an unfortunate part, but you know what? Boxing, my God.
That's right.
I talked to a boxer about 2 weeks ago. He told me he got hit 200 or 300 times a night when he fought. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's...
Well, we've killed that one, I was wondering about that. So y'all both kind of already talked about this. Who's going to be good this year? We talked about Jacksonville. We talked about Southwest.
Yeah, Southwest and Jacksonville, the top two teams in Onslow County.
Onslow County. Yeah, I've got to know about this. Battle's got a load in Beulahville, right?
They're not loaded, but they're going to be very good. And because they're so well coached, they're going to have a shot at having a great season.
These Duke
again.
Ones. Yeah. Are you thinking they have the potential to go back to the state championship?
Everything's got to fall into place for them to go back. No injuries. No injuries, and everything's got to fall into place. They'd be an outside shot. But I think they're a third-round team right now.
Okay. You agree, Jacksonville Southwest and Onslow County and then East Duke?
Oh, I agree. Jacksonville Southwest. I mean, you look at – just the rebuilding process that Southwest has taken since Coach Padgett left, and they're really headed in the right direction. Jacksonville returns everybody, I think, or seems to be returning everybody. And then East Dublin, I actually spoke with Battle the other day, and they're going to be under the radar this year with a lot of teams, and they embrace that role, and they're not the favorites like they were last year, but they're embracing that role of kind of being underdogs this year, and we'll see how far it takes them.
All right, flip the switch. Who's going to struggle?
Well, I think
Lejeune.
Yeah, well, Lejeune, and it's not their coaching staff's fault. It's not their kids' fault. They're just very low in numbers, and it's just a very unique and different situation over there. Where, I mean, heck, they don't even know who their head coach is until June, and nobody's fault. It's not the school's fault. It's just the way, you know, Uncle Sam made his decisions in terms of the finances and things like that. So, but yeah, they're going to struggle. I think they'll be a little bit better than they were last year, but, you know, hopefully maybe they win a game or two. But Swansboro is always kind of a tough situation just because of the good teams that they play. And Dixon, just because they play some of the tough teams like Dixon and Southwest and Richland. So those are three of the teams I think might. We'll have to work a little harder. Yeah.
Swansboro really hadn't had a good team since
'06.
They had a quarterback now, a LaHardin kid that played quarterback for them. That was a pretty good quarterback. What was it? A Trevor. That was you, right?
That was me. That was six.
All right, good deal. You concur with that?
Well, I mean, I think Lejeune won't win a ball game. It'd be a miracle.
Shoot.
I'll be honest with you. I think White was going to be improved. I do think
they're going to be strong.
But look, Swansboro will win three or four games in non-conference, and they'll get the conference, probably won't win a game unless they beat White Oak.
Yeah.
I mean, that's usually what happens. Let's just be honest about
that's
it.
Fair.
It's just one of those things. Richlands has got one good running back. If he doesn't get hurt in that conference they're in, you know, that conference isn't real strong. That's they can win six, seven, eight games in that conference. But, you know, they're really, truly, you know, football – as a whole, you know, there's definitely three or four teams that are pretty darn weak, and there's two or three teams that are pretty strong.
Cool. All right, let's move on. Top players to watch out for. I know Southwest has got the green kid that's verbal to Oklahoma.
Right. Oh, yeah, their whole offensive line is about 290. Probably all of them will probably go to Oklahoma. They'll probably take them. they can't fly them all there. The plane's not big enough to take off. But they're loaded with the offensive linemen. Like you said, the green kid. I mean, just speaking of Jacksonville, our two running backs plus our quarterback's player of the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, all those guys, all three of those guys can at any time are very, very talented and go. So, you know, I would say the whole Jacksonville backfield's in this county's a darn got plenty of talent there. Otherwise, I like the running back for Richlands. What's his name?
Emmanuel Whitehead.
Okay, he's legit. If he doesn't get hurt, he's a real good ball player. He can make them win four or five games by himself, and he has a little bit of help. You know,
D1, D2.
He's not at the size. He's not the size. I mean, I'm not. You know, I'm just being honest. The size ain't there.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
these
yeah.
kids that you know they don't have the size. They better be super duper fast.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Chris might know a couple other guys.
Yeah. Well, like Coach mentioned, you have Justin Bitten quarterback for Jacksonville, last year's Area Player of the Year. One kid that we actually did a story on the other day, and this is outside of Onslow County, but in East Duplin.
The East Duplin kid.
The kid from Amaru Herring had 43 tackles for loss.
Yeah, I saw that, dude. That was pretty damn impressive. Yeah, that was pretty good. And he's committed to
Georgia Southern.
Georgia Southern, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so... Anybody else? Does Northside? We'll get to Northside. Northside's going to be a little down this year.
They're going to be down for Northside. They're not going to be terrible. They probably got a surprise, which I'm not going to go into at this time. But they're probably a little surprise. They're going to be pretty a little bit better than a lot of people think because they are going to be down for Northside.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I mean, anytime you're in that conference with Havelock and Jacksonville, those are two of the big boys in that league, right. And it's going to be kind of tough, but, like, I agree with Coach.
Preseason Offensive Player of the Year, who you should pick? Is it the returning quarterback from Jacksonville?
I would say Bitten. I just think and Coach, you know, he works with him every day. He's become a leader. I remember Bitten as a sophomore 2 years ago. You know, Jakari Boone got hurt, and he came in with the lead, and he kind of was out of place and really kind of struggled that game. But a year later, he was put in the position where he was starting and really came on strong, emerged as a leader, and really took that team and became a leader, like I said. And I see no reason why he can't be, you know, the area's best player again.
So him potentially one, and then the kid from Richlands, the running back, if he gets some blocking and stays healthy, potentially a big offensive threat.
He could have a great season if they can block for him. But I mean, in that conference, they're going to be. Once they get to the conference, he's probably going to have incredible numbers. But non-conference, you know, there's a heck of a difference between the conference and non-conference schedules.
I think Richlands traditionally opens up with East Duplin.
Yeah, they'll open up against East Duplin. Okay.
So, is the potential preseason defensive player of the year the kid from East Duplin,
or the kid from Southwest Onslow, Derek Green?
Yeah. Well, that's all. I mean, that's great. I mean, anybody else to watch out for? Who potentially? I know they got a new coach, and it's my alma mater. So I have to know this. Who can we watch out for at White Oak? Who's going to be the stud at White Oak?
Well, Marcus Elmore is the quarterback this year.
Okay.
And they are they're switching a little bit of some offensive formations. Coach, you'll get a kick out of this. They're going to go more of a single wing offense this year. So they're going a little old school, and they're not going to go Notre Dame box. you know, they're excited. I think that kid is really taking that position as the quarterback seriously, and Coach Bird really speaks highly of him. So he's a kid to watch out for. And then they had some other kids that they think are going to be able to step up for him this year.
Stud at Swansboro. Who's going to be Swansboro's best player?
That's a little tough. They got a new quarterback.
Okay.
You know, they had the quarterback. Thomas Reynolds, that was there for starting quarterback for 2-3
probably
years.
Probably broke all of Trevor Harden's passing records there while he was there. Okay.
He had 5 touchdowns in 1 game. Or maybe 6.
That beat you by 4? Is that right? I'm just messing, dude. I'm just
by
messing.
3.
Okay.
You know, well, they do have a good linebacker, Opperman, that has done well the last couple of years. So he'll probably be one of their top players. But it's just kind of hard to pinpoint one kid in particular for the Pirates.
All right, now we're going on the record here. So this is going to be on the record. Give me predicted records, Jacksonville. You got to, Boo. This is part of it. Sorry, you came on. I fed you.
Predicted record.
Regular season. Yeah.
Let's go 10-0.
Ooh, you calling for an upset of Havelock? You better call for an upset. more realistic.
10-1 for Jacksonville.
So they play 11 games during the regular season, or 10?
They're playing 10. So yeah, 9-1.
9-1. I like that a little bit better. White Oak.
I think 5-6.
Five. They're only playing 10 games.
Oh, White Oak's only playing 10.
Well, I don't know.
I think White Oak's playing 11.
Okay. Yeah. 5-6. Okay.
Yeah, I would say 5-6. You know, I'm between 4-7, 5-6, but I would say 5.
Northside.
I think 5-6.
5-6.
No, make it 6-5.
6-5. Yeah. Okay.
Give them benefit of a doubt.
Yeah. Okay. So they're going to beat White Oak. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm lucky. I actually did this before coming in. 6-5.
6-5. Oh, you and Coach of Swansboro High School.
3-8.
Okay.
That's what we were.
4-7 because I think they'll pick up a few of those non-conference wins.
Southwest.
I think Southwest will go. I'll go 10-1.
10-1.
9-2.
9-2.
Yeah, because they got.
Then they got East Duplin.
They got East Duplin. They got Jacksonville. You know, and they got Wallace.
Yeah, they do.
10-1. But this, you sticking with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless he's thinking Southwest will be Jacksonville.
So for the record, Phil's two teams are combined 20-1 for the regular season. That's his predictions. You stick to it, man. Richlands.
Oh, I'll go. I think Richlands can get, if, stay healthy, 6-5.
6-5.
7-4.
7-4. Mm. Start with you, Dixon.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one. We'll say 3-8.
3-8.
I'll go 2-9.
2-9. Lejeune.
0-4.
How
many play? How many play?
I'll say 1-10.
1-10. Okay. And East Duplin. I got East Duplin in here.
Oh, I think East Duplin's, gosh. I go 8-3.
8-3. PDC, you think they'll lose to Southwest?
I'm not saying they'll lose. I'm just telling you. You asked me what I think they'll be. They're 8-3.
I think East Duplin, the only team that they'll lose in conference is Wallace.
Okay.
So that means they might drop one or two non-conference.
9-2.
I would say 8-3 because remember they got Jacksonville too. So that might, they'll be underdog in that one.
And we talked about this. So which teams will be making the playoffs and which teams will be starting basketball practice early? So we talked about Jacksonville, Southwest, East Duplin, any other potential, Richlands potentially.
Yeah, in that conference, Richlands are making playoffs.
Anybody else? Why don't you start basketball practice early? Swansboro?
Well,
So what you're saying is for Whiteoak and Swansboro, you'd rather go to soccer games than football games. Is that?
I'm not saying that. I think Northside's going to be on the bubble for playoffs.
Okay.
You know, but I think three are a lock of those teams we mentioned. And I think Northside's kind of on the bubble. Yeah. And if they don't have a young team, if things come together.
All right.
That's just an opinion. That's all it is.
And that's the hard thing about the playoffs is just it kind of fluctuates every year. Whereas an 83 Trask team last year missed the playoffs. So
this all depends on how.
Yeah, it just depends on how many other 8-3 teams are in the state or whatever. So it kind of just depends on a year by year situation.
Right. And we'll follow up. You said Jacksonville, Southwest, and East Duplin could make deep runs in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they'd be the three favorites to make it. You know, you always have somebody who gets a great draw in the playoffs. So, I mean, we've had it before at Southwest. You know, when I was, once in a while, you just get a great draw. You don't have that good a team, and you end up getting to the third round or East Finals because it just worked out that way. So I think there's a chance, but legitimately, there's three teams in the area that should make deep runs. And like I said, Northside being young, if they jail come together, I could see them making a run.
All right, not going to put you on the spot and ask you to name a team. Come December, will we have a state football championship in Onslow County? Not going to ask you who, but will we have a state football championship in Onslow County? Yes or no? This is a yes or no question. not if all the shit falls right. Not if this happens. Yes or no, Phil? Yes or no?
We'll have one there. Will
a team in Onslow County, high school football team in Onslow County, win a state championship football this season?
Yes.
Phil Padgett has said yes. Chris Miller?
Yes.
Well, you have it right there on the record. Last question I have, it is for Miller because I want him to pump it. Pigskin preview. Talk about Pigskin preview for about 30 seconds, a minute. Tell everybody what it is, and then Trevor's got some questions for you.
Pigskin preview, 32 pages this year. It will be publicated August 15th. And so it's our annual big football, high school football preview, and we're almost done with it. We've we're looking forward to it. Like I said, August 15th, and we think everybody's going to enjoy it.
Sweet. Phil, I will have a question for you when you're done eating. So, no, you can finish chicken wings. I'll go with you last. You eat. I'll start with Chris, and then I'll ask you a question.
Sure.
Let's see. So, what's your favorite sport?
My favorite sport has always been football.
Okay. Did you play growing up?
Yeah, I played football growing up. Played soccer for a few years here and there, but football was my – let me rewind that. I tried to play football. I was real good at kind of standing on the sidelines and hearing the play being called. But that's my favorite sport. But one of my favorite sports here to cover is soccer. I don't follow it really internationally, but right. I enjoy following it here in the area.
Okay. Who is the best high school football player you've ever seen in person?
Steve Goodson, no doubt. No.
Other than Goodson.
Steve Goodson.
The best, you said high school football?
The high school football player, best one you've ever seen live.
You know, the first one that came to my mind is Kendrick. Yeah. I mean, Kendrick can play. I think if Coach had Kendrick, asked Kendrick to play offensive line, he would, and he'd do a pretty dang good job with it. And but Kendrick could change a game. And I just remember that East Duplin game in the playoffs where you guys were down 3 or 4 points, and he takes that option left and runs by 80 yards for a touchdown, and then passes out at the end of the game because he's so dog tired.
Comment about that?
That's based on a true statement. Yes, it is. That did happen, and we went on. That was 2004. We went on to win the state championship. That was our second back to back.
I've seen him do that live to me. Yeah. Ran right past me. So. Who's the best high school basketball player you've ever seen?
Oh Lord. Best high school basketball player. I think in terms of pure talent, mm-hmm. it would have to be probably Jamal Shuler from Jacksonville. But in terms of just the success and just what you meant to your team, mm-hmm. would have to be Zach Hobbs from Northside.
Okay.
I think Shuler was the best pure talent player we've had or that I've seen, but Zach Hobbs was the most successful, winning a state championship, yeah. and you know, player of the year honors and everything. So it's kind of a toss up between those two guys.
Okay, what's the best best all around football team you've ever seen?
The best all around football mm-hmm. team. 03 Southwest. And Coach, I'm not saying that, but you know, but 03 Southwest Onslow is just strong offense, strong defense. And it's just, and that team was on a mission, and Coach, I think Coach would agree, had some special moments that year.
Oh God.
Had some really special moments that year that you didn't think this team would, overcome, and mm-hmm. they did. So,
well, it was 15 years ago, by the way, so that's kind of special. And it was, it's the all-time winningest football team. No one's ever won 16 games in Onslow County, and they did, and they beat a 15-0 Cummings team that hadn't lost a game in 3 years. A quarterback had never lost a football game.
Quarterback in Carolina, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't remember where he went, but he went. Okay, we beat the daggone team East Bladen, which was 14-0, and their running back went to App and was part of the state national championship team. They were unbelievable, and they had a couple kids that played in the NFL off that team. And we beat a Edenton Holmes team that was 12-0. And then we beat Richlands that year in the Halloween Bowl, and they were 10-0. We beat four teams that were undefeated, 10-0 or more. And it was just – that team had everything, offense, defense, special teams, kicking, every bit. So, yes, that to me was the most complete football team I've ever seen. Of course, that Jacksonville team of 82 with Bruce Simpson was pretty darn good too, by the way, but we won't go there.
Was that Kendrick's freshman year or sophomore year?
His sophomore year is when we went 16-0. Then his junior year, we won the state championship.
Yeah.
But that team wasn't as complete as the team Chris is talking about.
Okay. What's the best basketball team you've ever seen as a whole?
Best basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to say the Northside team that won 2 years mm-hmm. ago, just for the sake that they won a state championship, finished 30-0. I would have said this past year's Northside team, had they won the 3A state championship, but they fell a couple points short against Cox Mill. But that 30-0 team a couple years ago with Zach and all those guys was probably the best team and you got to call them best because they won a state championship.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only state championship in basketball that we've had here since I think potentially like a Kent Lejeune school back in like 1950 something won a basketball.
I'm working on
state champion. I know you. Well, you're working on the private school, the Living Water
Still
Warriors,
counts.
Baby.
Still counts.
Oh, I know it does. I know it does.
Still counts. What's one sporting event you could or that you want to go to? It could be anywhere in the world. It could be a WWE wrestling match or soccer, World Cup, whatever it is. What's one event?
I used to always want to cover the ACC tournament. Basketball tournament.
Okay.
I don't feel as strongly about that now because it's a lot of work, mm-hmm. And you're also competing with ESPN and some of those folks. But I've always wanted to go to the ACC tournament, especially in Greensboro, just because that's where it belongs. Is Greensboro Coliseum.
But still, you're up in Brooklyn and at the Nets place and watching it with Jay-Z and that crowd. So
anyway, that's my best soccer team. Huh?
He wants you to ask you the best soccer team, and Miller, you better not say it's a damn Jacksonville High School damn soccer team.
Yeah, I just wanted to give Gray a hard time.
Yeah, we got another guest here in the crowd. My son Gray, he's home from school, so potentially the best soccer player at Blaywatic High School, and potentially the on one of the greatest soccer teams that never reached their full potential.
you don't need to say anything about that. You don't even go there. I'll be honest with you, soccer in this county, you couldn't pick out the greatest soccer team.
Oh, absolutely not, dude.
Too many really good players.
Who is it? Who's the best soccer team ever?
The best soccer team I've seen.
Yes.
Was the 2012 Jacksonville team.
Jackson. Was that with the Heatherly, the year they won the state championship?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they had a good team. Team.
Yeah, they call it Handball Heatherly.
Yeah, Handball Heatherly with the Sparks boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
what's the most memorable interview you've ever done with a coach?
With the coach? Man, that's a tough one. You know, and I'm trying to spread the love now. You give some White Oak, Jacksonville, Southwest.
Oh, that's all right.
But
let's be honest.
I think when Northside basketball won the state championship a couple years ago, and you saw Tony Marshburn kind of lose. Somebody had asked him what it meant because, you know, he had just had a heart attack a few years before and came close to, you know, just calling it quits coaching. And he came back. They won the state championship, and the man just broke down. And you know, in that news conference, just filled with emotion, and you know, so that was probably the best interview I had, because just seeing him kind of break down. And then of course the interviews with Coach back in that 03 East Blaine game, mm-hmm. because that was an emotional week. And but those would be some of the best ones I remember, just what that meant to the coaches, their families, and those communities.
Okay, I got one more, then I had a question for Phil. What's the most exciting high school game you've ever been to? Football, basketball, soccer, just crazy back and forth? Or
yeah.
Good question.
Yeah,
good question, Trevor.
Took me all day to think of this.
It's a good thing we're not on rapid fire, because Miller's taking a long time.
There's been so many of them.
Okay.
There's been so many of them, and you know, they all kind of run together. But of course, football, soccer, basketball. I mean, you've been in this business for a while.
You've witnessed some great sporting events, haven't you, man?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Okay. Phil, what is wrong with the passing game in Alto County? Why isn't there one? And I know it's tough to ask you, because you hand the ball off 97 times a game.
Well, I'm telling you this. You know, in this county, we have more of the kind of athletes that can run the football, that can throw it, and if they can throw it. I mean, I'm not saying we don't have kids who can throw it. Our quarterback can throw it, mm-hmm. Jacksonville. But he's also 5'10".
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's not your prototype quarterback throwing. You know, you get to Raleigh, they're 6'4", New Hanover.
Right.
Their quarterback 6'5" this year. I mean, you know, and that's a big – that's a big difference right there. So that's a lot of it. But, you know, that's one of the things that you can be good at every year, running football.
Yeah.
That's why when I was in charge at Southwest, I mean, that's what I believed in. I believed you worked hard in the weight room, and you pounded them with football. And if you didn't make mistakes, and that's something I kind of got from Coach Durham. He said, you know, you kept the football from them. You had a good kicking game. You didn't make a mistake. If you're still in the game in the fourth quarter, you know, you might wear them down and punch one in and beat a team that's better than you. And that's kind of my philosophy all my life. And as much as I've been sometimes criticized for not playing football,
yeah.
it's worked out fairly well, I thought, in my career anyway.
I agree.
You know, so, but I mean, so the truth is, I really think that it's easier to get good at running the football than to throw. And look, we have some people who throw it, but you know what? They don't buy into the total package. If you become a throwing team, you got to kind of buy into it like you do the option.
Yeah.
You can't halfway the option.
Right.
Either you're the option or you're not.
Yeah.
And you can fake it, but against a good team, you get blown up against some teams. I was about to say, so I shouldn't say a bad team, but you know what I'm saying. So the same is true when you're throwing football. If you're going to be a great throwing football team, then you got to work on it all the time. And when you do that, also, to do that, you got to take away from your defensive time.
That's right.
So that's my opinion. And I mean, I know that's why it was way it worked for us.
Right. I was saying, I know running the ball worked for you, so
right.
That's why.
Well, I mean, it's easier to get better at running the football
mm-hmm.
than throwing the football. When it's third and two, do you want to depend on that guy, quarterback dropping back, not getting sacked, throwing the ball, the guy catching the ball, getting it? Or would you rather run off tackle behind Steve Goodson for 2 yards? You feel like you got a shot at it anyway, don't you?
2 yards in a cloud of dust, baby. 2 yards in a cloud of dust. Last thing about football. This coming Thursday and Friday, August 9th and 10th, Northside High School, Marine Federal Credit Union Football Jamboree, the area high school football teams, and we've got teams from outside the county coming in. You can go to the Jack Swanslow Sports Commission website. I think it's like playjosc.com, and you can find out more information. Chris, I know you'll be there. I know you'll be there, be there as an assistant for Jacksonville High School. Guys, thank you so much. Y'all stay right here because we're going to get input from y'all as we continue on. We're just going to talk a couple other things really quickly because we're moving on with 34 minutes of time.
Nice.
So, quick hits, quick hits. Draymond Green, Tristan Thompson scuffle. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, quick hit. You're right.
Yeah, quick hit. At the ESPYs after party, Thompson attacked Green. Sucker punched him or sucker pushed him, whichever you want to call it. No talk, no squaring up. He just went up there. I guess Tristan still got a little bad blood from the NBA championship.
Probably.
So LeBron and Kevin Durant separated him.
Yeah. I don't know how much truth there is to what actually happened.
Yeah.
So I read one thing. It said Draymond tried to apologize.
Yeah.
But we weren't there, so I don't know.
So anyway, and the party they were at was a LeBron party, and there was no phones or no devices. You couldn't. So nobody could text.
Right,
no one could
do it.
There was no phones, no pagers or anything could be brought in. So
people still have pagers?
Yeah, people still have pagers.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, in L.A., man, it's L.A., they're making a comeback.
It's new to me.
So let's see. College football rankings came out. So many you guys probably won't remember this, but for us, being old Southern folks, we didn't look to USA Today. We didn't look to Coach's Poll. Remember Athlon Sports?
Mm-hmm.
Athlon Sports is what we look for the news, man. So I was in Cracker Barrel today eating breakfast, and they had an Athlon Sports football edition. So I picked it up, looked through it a little bit.
Did you buy it?
I bought it. Oh, yeah. No, I just didn't look through it. I bought it.
Okay.
So the preseason rankings are out for the nation. Number one, Alabama. Number two, Clemson. Number three, Georgia. Number four, Ohio State. We'll see about that one. Number five, Michigan. And number six, Miami of Florida. Now, what do you find interesting about – I'm going to repeat that. Bama, Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, Miami, Florida, the top six.
I know Bama's already got quarterback controversy.
Yeah.
What's
the – but that's three conferences. Three conferences have the top – have – each three conferences have the top six teams in it. Bama and Georgia, Clemson and Miami, and Ohio State and Michigan.
It's been like that for a while.
I know. I mean, college football, man, is just crazy.
I'm just glad it's back.
Do they play football west of the Mississippi? I'm not really sure if they do or not. Is there a Pac? Is it Pac? Pac something?
I can't remember. I think they play somewhere over there.
Anyway, I just thought that was interesting. So, last piece of tidbit: Kelvin Benjamin. If he just falls off the face of this earth and dies, I will not really care. Did you see where he ripped Cam Newton?
I mean, I'm a huge Panthers fan, but I can almost agree with him.
Dude, man, you're going to square it right here, right now.
Cam Newton cannot throw the ball.
Said that he wasn't put in a, quote, position to succeed because of Cam. Said that Cam's deficiencies as a quarterback, specifically his accuracy and his knowledge, did not develop Kelvin Benjamin.
I mean, if you overthrow Kelvin Benjamin, you got some serious accuracy
issues. Okay, so that's legitimately, and I'm not going to get into it because I'm going to give you a little preview. In the stud and dud section, he's going to be one of my studs and duds, and he's not going to be my freaking stud. So, and I'll go into it as we come up, but Kelvin Benjamin almost is potentially going to eat himself out of the league.
I think he dropped weight.
I guess he did in Buffalo, where it's like 12 degrees outside. So, I just totally disagree with you. I'm a Panthers man. Cam,
me too. I love the Panthers.
And Cam we trust.
52% completion rating.
3 years ago.
How much do you trust?
Three years ago, he was Offensive player of the year in the NFL.
That's a long time
ago. I'm saying 3 years ago. Well,
I know.
Okay. Well, let's move on. I suppose you think Michael Jordan's a better basketball player than LeBron James too, right?
He is.
Yeah, right. Okay. stud of the week. Tell me your stud of the week.
Surprisingly enough, LeBron James for opening that school.
Absolutely. You have finally seen the light.
I think it's great that other players have opened schools before, but
not like LeBron James. It'll be the biggest and the best.
So it's free tuition, free uniforms, free transportation within 2 miles of the school, free breakfast, lunch, and snacks, guaranteed college tuition for every student who graduates. I don't know if that's like community college, for 2 years or whatever. Food pantry for families, GED and job placement for the parents, and a free bicycle and helmet.
I don't recall Michael Jordan ever doing any of that. Do you?
No.
Okay. That's all. That's all I wanted to hear about that. So,
David Robinson opened a school.
One.
He scored 71 points in the game. That's way more than LeBron could ever wish to score.
Well, I mean, that's a good point. I can't argue that with you. So I'm going to move on to my stud of the week, or actually, they're my studs of the week, and they kind of. I don't think they pale in comparison to yours. My studs of the week are all the high school coaches that have left the relaxation and leisure of summer vacation and gotten back on the football field, the soccer pitch, the volleyball court, and wherever the cross-country coaches stand, I don't know. And they're leading and guiding our youth to shape our folks for the community. Notice I included every sport in there except cheerleading because I really don't consider cheerleading a sport. So I've included all of those sports in there. I think those guys, those coaches dedicate time. Just they don't get paid crap to do it. They you know, unless you've got big booster clubs like over at Southwest High School and stuff like that in years past. And you have people like Roger Carroll footing the bill and stuff like that. So anyway, high school football, high school coaches that have gone back onto the field, including our newest, probably potentially our newest AD in the county, Living Water Warriors Christian School, Trevor Harden, who is the newest AD and men's basketball coach at Living Water. Well, you ain't done anything yet, so you're not a stud.
Not yet. Give me some time.
Okay, we'll give you some time. Dud. Who's your dud?
Anyone that knew anything or involved in the Ohio State, Urban Meyer, assistant coach, domestic violence, blah, blah, blah. If I don't know if they knew anything or didn't know anything, but you're dud if you knew something, you didn't say something.
Did you hear who, if Urban Meyer gets fired, who the number one leading candidate is to take his place?
Who?
Bob Stoops, Oklahoma. And he, at, they said that he's potentially the number one person to take to take his place. Anyway, my dud. Hands down, Kelvin Benjamin for his remarks about Cam Newton. Kelvin's high water mark was his rookie year. He had 73 catches for over 1,000 yards and 9 TDs. Kelvin, if you weren't 7'4" and 285 pounds, you wouldn't be playing in the NFL. There's this key word, Kelvin, called separation. You've never been able to get separation from anybody, especially the buffet line at Golden Corral. You cannot separate yourself from that. Accuracy and knowledge. Good luck, Buffalo. Kelvin, it's cold, cold, cold. And they'd love to run the ball with this dude named LeSean McCoy. Okay? Oh, yeah, and by the way, let's see. Cam Newton, the Buffalo Bills quarterbacks on the roster, A.J. McCarron, never played a snap for Cincinnati, behind Andy Dalton, who was horrible. Nate Peterman from Pittsburgh, who threw 18 interceptions in one half last year, and rookie Josh Allen. So, Kelvin. He can throw 70 yards in the 90-mile-per-hour wind that happens in Buffalo. So, Kelvin, all I got to say, buddy, is good luck in Buffalo, and they'll be more accurate, and they probably will know more than Cam, and you'll probably be 300 pounds eating all those chicken wings up in Buffalo. So, you are my dud of the week. Rapid fire. Are you ready for rapid fire?
I'm ready as I'm going to be.
All right, here we go. Trevor. How fast could you realistically think you can run the 100-meter dash in? The world record, by the way, is 9.58 seconds set by Usain Bolton of Jamaica. How fast could you run the 100-meter dash?
Today?
Right now.
Oh, 10.8.
Wow. The 200-meter dash, which the world record is 19.9 seconds, also held by Usain Bolton.
22.
Ooh, buddy, you're moving. How far do you think you could jump in the long jump? The U.S. Mike Powell holds the world record at 29 feet, 4.25 inches. How far could you long jump right now?
24.
Shit.
All those numbers I just gave you, I did 10 years ago in high school.
Okay. Well, that was 10 years ago. I said right now.
I feel the same.
Okay.
I feel exactly the same.
You don't look the same.
Come on.
Better movie, Talladega Nights or Step Brothers?
Step Brothers.
You're crazy.
I like it.
Best movie line from Talladega Nights, because we're going to assume you said Talladega Nights. Best movie line from Talladega Nights. One of these three movie lines, and I want everybody's opinion here. Okay, one of these three movie lines. If you ain't first, you're last. That was said by Ricky Bobby. Dear Lord, baby Jesus, or as our brothers to the south called you, Jesus, we thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell. I just want to take the time to say thank you for my family, my two beautiful, handsome, striking sons, Walker and Texas Ranger, or TR as we call him, And, of course, my red-hot smoking wife, Carly, who is stone-cold fox. That's quote two. Third quote, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jewish God. Help me, Allah. Help me, Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise, use your witchcraft or on me to get the fire off of me. Help me, Oprah Winfrey. Which one of those three is the best Talladega Night quote?
Oh, I love
the prayer.
I like the one first one just because that's what I'm on. But
if
you ain't first, you're last.
You're last.
I like number two just because it's funnier.
Because it's funny.
And I'm really surprised you didn't say shake and bake.
Well, shake and bake was kind of given. So out of those three, which one you like?
The first one.
Yeah. Perfect. Who makes a better duo, Will Ferrell and John Reilly, or Bobby Mills and Rick Gallagher?
Bobby Mills, Rick Gallagher.
Okay. What is Neil Armstrong most famous for? Most famous for?
Man on the Moon?
Yeah. Was he the first or the last?
I don't know.
He was the very first man to walk on the moon. Who played Herb Brooks in the Miracle on Ice movie?
Never seen it.
Never seen it?
No.
Who played?
I don't know who played it, but I saw it. It was great.
I don't like hockey.
You know? Kurt Russell.
Yeah, Kurt Russell.
Favorite Beastie Boys song? Sabotage, Fight for Your Right, Intergalactic, or something else?
Intergalactic.
I like that too.
That's a good one.
You remember that one?
Yeah, but I'm not a Beastie Boy.
Okay. Okay, this is a serious question, Trevor.
Okay.
Who was the better football coach, Phil Padgett or Nick Saban?
I'm going with Phil.
Okay. Oh, who's the better sports?
I'm going with Nick.
Who's the better sports reporter, Chris Miller or Colin Cowherd?
I can't stand Colin, yeah.
So Chris Miller.
I went by default. All
right. Who makes a better duo, Bobby Mills and Rick Gallagher, or Phil Padgett and Chris Miller?
Ooh. I'm going with Phil and Chris.
Oh. Phil and Chris. All right. Does Tristan Thompson have a brighter future in basketball or the UFC?
UFC, now LeBron's gone.
Okay.
They'll never win another game.
What do you enjoy more, high school football, college football, or the NFL?
College football.
High school football because you're there.
This is rapid fire.
Yeah.
College football. Okay.
High school football.
I knew you'd say that.
I do.
All right, Trevor, fill in the blank. On a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being most likely, Alabama's chances of winning the national championship again this year?
4.5.
What is more likely, Bama winning the national championship or your alma mater, Swansboro, winning 6 games and making the playoffs?
I'm going to go with Bama.
Good guess. What's more likely, Bama winning the national championship or your Water Warriors basketball team winning the conference championship, conference tournament, and making a deep run in the state playoffs? Which is more likely?
We're going all the way.
You're going all the way.
Mm-hmm.
So you're calling. I've had two guests on here say a state championship in football this year. Are you going on record at this show on August 5th at 7:50 p.m. on Sunday night saying you're going to bring home a basketball state championship for Living Water Warriors this year?
We're not coming home.
Okay. Wow. Finally, who's a better coach, Phil Padgett or Trevor Harden?
Oof, that's tough. I've been working pretty hard.
Have you?
I'm still going to go with Phil for now.
All right. There you have it, folks. This episode of Two Men to Six Packs. Thanks for tuning in.